when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
All you precious Blood River Radio family, I'd like to thank you for hanging out. I'd like to also remind you that this is being pre-recorded. This is a pre-recorded program. Today is, I got to look at the calendar again, Tuesday, October the 29th. And the reason, once again, in case you're just tuning in, the reason I'm having to pre-record the program, I'll be leaving tomorrow for Nashville, Tennessee, from Memphis. And then Thursday morning, we fly out of Nashville into New York, where they're going to have the New York Marathon. And I'll be up there for about a week. My oldest daughter takes me up there on her dime. Supposedly I was a good dude when her and her sisters were being raised by this evil racist. But anyway, that's what we're going to be doing. And as promised, we have my dear little sister, Braveheart, Monica Schaefer, coming on. And we also have, God, he's a legend in his own. I got to make a maybe I should just call him the legend. Paul Fromm. He's going to be coming on to join his sister, Monica. But briefly, first, though, I didn't quite manage the first hour right, and I wanted our guest, Ben, Tennessee Ben, to give his solution to the one hell of a mess that we are in right now. And I don't have to name the mess. You picked the problem y'all want, forced vaccinations, wide-open borders, global white genocide, you name it. Come close to all-out war with Russia, you name it. But anyways, the whole damn thing is aimed at global white genocide. And so I've asked Ben to please give his solution. He's only 29 years old, so we want to get a young person's view. What is your solution to all this potential tragedy, Ben?
Well, the first thing to state, because it's the number one and most important, is keep strong in your faith. Trust in the Lord, because without him, nothing is possible. Secondly, remember that family is why we fight. So build strong homes, raise your children strong. Going forward from there, prepare for when crap hits the fan. And like I said, last weekend, there's more to prepping than guns and ammo. There's medical, there's storage, water, all sorts of stuff that you need to keep in mind. And, coming more forward towards just the doxing and stuff that goes forward. When the left calls you a Nazi or a neo-Nazi, smile at them, thank them. They won't know what to do when you do that.
That's pretty much what Sister Monica said when she was in prison for denying the God that God, she blasphemed that God, that sacred God that God, the Holocaust, the patented jealous God that would have no other gods before it. When she blasphemed him, she was put into prison. But I thank you so much. Yeah. I appreciate that, Ben. I thank you for coming on. And like I said, repeating myself, I'll be contacting you, and we'll meet again on the 9th of November at our
Sounds
secret
good.
Location. We'll see
Sounds
you later. Thanks so much, Ben.
God bless and white power.
Amen to that, buddy. God bless you and white power. People, that was the young 29-year-old Tennessee Ben you just heard. Now we're going to bring on, as promised, my sister Braveheart, Monica Schaefer, and my brother Paul Fromm. So come in to here, but if
okay.
I say that right,
I did hear that little bit there from Ben, and he sounds like he's just got it all together. That's fantastic. I liked his message. Yeah.
We've got a few operations playing. It's going to really raise up some, I tell you what, I think it's going to cause a real big stink here around Memphrica. But anyway, I hope it does anyway. But anyway, I'm pretty much bowing out. It's going to be you and Brother Paul. Paul, are you there, son? Brother,
yes, Ron? I am. I'm on my way back from the nation's capital. We had a good meeting last night, and I sold a copy of Sister Monica's book. And we had some really good book buyers, and we actually had more people come from Quebec than came from Ottawa. Kind of interesting group.
Wow.
Right on, Paul, and I did have a wonderful conversation with that woman who bought my book last night, so we'll be definitely getting connected. Wonderful to meet new people all the time. It just shows you that there are more and more and more of us out there who know and understand and are getting in action. Like, we are, you know, this is going to be an unstoppable force, all the people who are working in this epic struggle of ours, so that
one of the things I think the demonic forces have tried to do is to isolate us. And even though we've got the internet, you know, we should be doing a lot better sometimes. It's amazing when you come across people that are being close to where you live, who've been involved. Like, I must say, I like to think I'm fairly well informed, but I only learned a month ago that there has been a weekly protest in Mississauga. That's a city just west of Toronto. It's a city of 750,000. I ran for mayor there twice. Unfortunately, I didn't get elected. But beside a major mall, this protest has been every Saturday for 3 years. It's about freedom. It was against the COVID restrictions, but more generally about freedom, against the World Economic Forum, against the cashless society. I only learned about them about a month ago, so I've been there twice. And one of the most the wonderful thing about the freedom movement is you're immediately a friend. Immediately some woman came up and offered me a samosa. I don't know what that is, and I wouldn't eat it anyway, but that was I'm not into that heathen stuff, but the friendliness, and people, you know, wouldn't know from Adam, hug you, and there's this acceptance, and people are happy.
That's so true, Paul. Next time you should try one of those samosas. They're actually really delicious.
What is a samosa? Is that a
drink? Well, I'll take your word for it. But I'm a veteran of probably 130 different protests. I'm now a professional protester since COVID in, I think, about 27 cities in British Columbia and Ontario. And I've met just the most, in general, the most wonderful people. So making connections and working together, that's key. Isolation, you know, destroys people.
I want to segue on that very important point, what you said there, and then recapped with this isolation concept. Now, our enemy, they work very hard to give us the illusion that we are just alone, we are isolated, we are just one crazy guy or gal, and they work very hard at that. Alfred, my brother, he talked about that years ago already. And they do it in all kinds of means and ways. And one of the ways they do it is online. They actually falsify the view counts, for example. I mean, this was when Alfred still had all his stuff on YouTube. Of course, that's no longer the case, because YouTube did a big purge, and I think it was 2019, of anything that was, you know, Nazi. But, you know, they would actually falsify the view counts. He would see the view count on one of his videos, get up the next morning, and it had dropped, you know, like, that's impossible, right? But, and also they would hide comments. So he, you know, we did a lot of sleuthing and investigating to see, well, who's seeing these comments? Okay, I see my comment, but maybe nobody else does, that kind of thing. So they had all their methods. And then, of course, they also use the method of making you out to be just a lone nutcase. I mean, you know, when Ernst Sundel was on trial in the 1980s, and I was still very much asleep, but it was on the news every day for weeks and weeks, and they made him sound like he was just a lone nutcase, you know, but nothing could be further from the truth. But that's a huge weapon they have, and it's one of their tools, I should say, one of their methods by which they conduct their psychological warfare against us, because we don't like feeling isolated. We don't like being just the only one that has an opinion or a thought or has reached a conclusion. Like, it's much better for us if we know that there are others who understand the truth and who have the same, reached the same conclusions as we did, and that we feel supported, we don't feel alone. I mean, you know, that's just natural. So that is one of their weapons against us. So yeah, that's a really important one, Paul, that we know and understand that there are many, many, many people. And so as we network together, this is very, very good. It makes us very strong. And I like what you said about just discovering this other group that you hadn't known anything about, that they're meeting regularly. I also discovered some groups when I traveled around, especially in Alberta. There are many, many groups started up when the COVID started. So I say, okay, thank you very much, Jews. You kind of got us all networked and got a lot of people waking up. And so that, they could, you know, we could say thank you very much.
Well,
and Eddie, I do hear the music.
We got to go take a quick break. Paul, we'll be right back after this first break. Be right back, folks.
Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. With that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
This is a battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Here, Blood River Radio family, I'm going to shut up and go right back to Monica and Sister Monica and Brother Paul.
Actually, over to Paul. Over to Paul, yes. Please.
Just go ahead, Brother Paul. Continue on, please.
You know, I had an incident last night that points out the way isolation works. I was saying to one of the new fellows who came down from Montreal to my meeting, do you think I could do a meeting in Montreal? Do you have a circle of friends? You know, I come down, even though for a small number of people, even though it's a long drive. And he said, well, I talked to them, but they're afraid of you. I said, well, why is that? Well, he said, well, you supported, this was a former member of parliament, Derek Sloan, and he got kicked out of the party because of you. Well, okay, that's not exactly the case. I sent Derek Sloan, who was raising money for his campaign, I sent him $121. Somehow the enemy found out, because political donations are public. And so they leaned on him. Oh, prominent neo-Nazi is backing Derek Sloan. Well, the leader of the Conservative Party threw him out. But it really wasn't because of me. That was the excuse. But the leader hated him because he was a believing Christian and was organizing Christians for policy, to get more involved in policy. So he's a good organizer. Anyway, but the mainstream media would say he got kicked out of the party because I gave him $121. In the real world, that's total nonsense. The average person, the average MP, gets a fair number of donations. My little $121 would not have stood out. You know, maybe it had been $1,000, it might have. And I thought, you know, it's fear. Why would these people? They're not running for office. They're just ordinary people. Why would they not want to hear me, even if they believe this nonsense? Believe this rather twisted story. And sometimes it's our own fear. You know, I'd like to make connections with some of his friends. I won't go into, you know, the sort of little group he's involved with. It's religious, but you know, we have to be open. I mean, I'm sure it was frightening for a lot of people to come to their first freedom rally. Will these be people with tin foil hats with a propeller flying around? No, I mean, we've got to overcome some of our fears. At least check it out. And that's one of the ways they keep us isolated. You know, that they'll call you names. Well, I better not associate with that guy. And, you know, you promoted a certain organization that goes back to just after the Civil War the other night. Well, I can't be involved with that. My position is I'm responsible for what I say. What other people say, they're responsible. I don't care. Let's talk with people. But that's one of the techniques. And, you know, this Nazi, Hitler, fascist, they may have overplayed their hand with Donald Trump. I heard that. I heard much of his speech in Madison Square Gardens. It was electric. It was. He was on fire. And sure, okay, there are people who say, oh, he's Hitler. He's like Mussolini or neo-Nazi. But people can tell. That's just total BS. It's, you know, there's no similarity in terms of Hitler. Hitler's system was for Germany. He wanted to save Germany. His was a blueprint for Germany. It wasn't, and it's not completely applicable to the United States or to Canada. It was a blueprint for that time for Germany. And to call somebody a Nazi or a neo-Nazi, it scares people at first. But, you know, when the guy who's going to be the next president of the United States is a Nazi, well, then maybe calling you or me a Nazi isn't. I think they've overplayed their hand, and
people are starting to see that this term Nazi, first of all, it's just a weaponized label, and these days anybody is called a Nazi who just in the slightest degree disagrees with the politically correct narrative that we're all supposed to abide by. And I'll just comment on a couple of things that I jotted down as you were speaking, Paul. The whole party politics game that is being played, we really only have one choice. I mean, it's just very, very communistic these days, because while there's all these elections going on, and we just had one in British Columbia, and they finally announced the the outcome today, even though that was more than a week ago, the vote, because it was so close, they had to do some judicial recounts. But anyway, that aside, when they were campaigning, especially in the early weeks of the campaign when the parties can still get names or prevent names from being put on the ballot with their party, there were people, candidates being thrown out all over the place just because they, you know, some post that they had put on a social media maybe years ago that didn't quite agree with the prevailing politically correct narrative. It didn't matter which party, they'd be thrown out because, you know, maybe they said something a few years ago that was actually truthful and now they're being thrown out. So I just came to the conclusion, well, you can only have one opinion, one narrative, one, like, it's just a farce and an illusion that people, when they're going to the ballot to vote for this or that candidate in this or that party, that these are actually different from each other. No, they're all the same, because any and all of those parties were kicking out their own candidates, forbidding them from running in their own platform if they just, you know, stepped out of line. And that line is, it's getting narrower and narrower. And then the other thing I wanted to comment on was this by association, smear by association. I mean, I tell you, the first smear by association for me, back when I did that video, you know, sorry, Mom, I was wrong about the Holocaust, in 2016, in my local town paper, I was smeared by association with you, dear Paul Fromm. And so you're right. People have this fear. And I understand this so much better now when everything is reversed and everything is opposite. I mean, who is the most demonized man on the face of this earth? It's Adolf Hitler. So when people compare anybody with Hitler, then that means that they're good. But now, as far as you, you know, at the time, oh, geez, like, oh, people are smearing me by association with you. I would say to you, Paul, that's a big compliment to you, because I understand now. I mean, if you're good and you're on the right side of things, then in the media, the mass media, you're going to be smeared. And so that was their first weapon they pulled out against me at the time. Oh, with white, I don't remember if they said white supremacist or white nationalist. I can't remember which words they used in that very first article that, you know, oh, she's associating with, you know.
Well, I'm not the first, but I am the second.
Exactly, of course. But they've taken those terms now, and it, in people who aren't awake and don't know better, like the normie population, I guess you could say, it all is one and the same.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You are a particularly immoral person if you're not for your own people. A white nationalist, I'm simply for the European founding settler people of this country. I get along well with most minorities. I don't wish any other people harm or ill, but I do not want my country given away. And you know, that was part of the theme of Saturday, my portion of Saturday's show. There's nothing wrong with promoting your own, but we've been somehow talked into the notion that to be supportive of our own people is immoral. On the other hand, to be supportive of privileged minorities is right. I heard this might be wrong, but I was told this morning by a good contact up in Fort McMurray that the latest is the British government, the Labour Socialist government of Britain, is thinking of reparations for slavery. That's true on that point.
Well, folks, when we come back this break, you two people have said some things, and I want to ask y'all some questions about one of them about our beloved Adolf Hitler. Be right back, folks.
Proclaim. proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hey, folks, Donald Trump Jr. here. Let me ask you this. Does inflation feel worse than we're being told in the news? That's because the official inflation rate doesn't tell the whole story. Since January of 2021, the cost of living has increased by 17.9%. You can't get that money back. But what you can do is stop your losses today. How? By diversifying your savings into a gold IRA from my friends at the Birch Gold Group. When you're done, your money will be parked in a tangible asset with proven history. To see how it works, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word PREPARE to 989898. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. They provide an easy process to roll over your 401k or IRA into gold without losing your tax advantage status. So text PREPARE to 989898. That's PREPARE to the number 989898 to get your free info kit on gold IRAs from Birch Gold.
The Pentagon says North Korea has sent 10,000 soldiers to Russia. The troops are undergoing training before likely being dispatched to Ukraine.
It's not clear how they will be deployed, but it is interesting because on the Western side, Western allies, the U.S., have been wary of this war's footprint spreading. And Russia's strengthening relationship with North Korea does just that on the other side. What we're hearing from the Pentagon is that there will be no new restrictions announced on missiles it provides Ukraine or on what it hits inside Russia. And that includes, potentially, hypothetically, on North Korean soldiers.
The BBC's James Waterhouse. North Korea says its top diplomat is visiting Russia, another sign of their deepening ties. North Korea's official news agency says a delegation led by its foreign minister departed for Russia Monday, did not specify the purpose of the visit. News and analysis, townhall.com. North Carolina elections officials say voting preparations are running smoothly, even as the state struggles in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene.
After the first week of early voting, more than 2.3 million voters have cast their ballots in the state, a 30% turnout of registered voters with 8 days remaining until Election Day. While over 400 early voting sites are currently open, local boards of elections are also gearing up to open more than 2,600 Election Day polling stations statewide. The 25 counties in western North Carolina hardest hit by the hurricane will continue to receive additional support to ensure that polling stations are open. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Its value meals helped turn around McDonald's U.S. sales in the third quarter. The recovery could be hindered by an E. coli outbreak tied to quarter pounders. McDonald's says U.S. same-store sales rose 0.3% from July through September. Revenue also rose. It gained 3% to $6.87 billion. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. Thank you so much for supporting this program. We had a really interesting conversation during the break with Sister Monica and Brother Paul. I've got them. I hope they don't mind me. I hope I don't throw them off their program. I was going to ask them a question. When we come back, I guess we'll just go to Sister Monica. This is a two-part question. Sister Monica, and you know what I said during the break, why is Adolf Hitler, why is he so feared, if he is feared, why is he so hated? Why is his name used as a club to bludgeon over people's head like us, we are? If you do, like you said, if you do anything slightly disagreeing with mm-hmm. the political establishment, they say, oh, he's a Nazi. And I said during the break, Hitler and Paul, because Paul said that Adolf Hitler was concerned about Germany for Germans. He said he didn't try to export National Socialism, unlike Trotsky, and maybe Paul can explain Trotsky versus Stalin when we come back. But why, first part of the question, why is he so hated and so feared and so lied about? And secondly, who is the most controlled by the Jews in the presidential election of the United States? Go ahead, Sister Monica.
Well, that on the first question about Hitler, I mean, the very, very simple answer and then I'll maybe just expand a little bit on it. But the simple answer is that because we are in an inverted world where basically everything is turned upside down, in the mass media, they have turned everything upside down. So my simple answer is, I think he is one of the greatest men to ever have walked the face of this earth.
Bingo.
And so he is the most demonized. He and Jesus Christ, I would say, are the most demonized by who is it that controls the media? Who is it that owns the banks? Who is it that, in their control of the media and ownership of the media, they basically control how we think, and they have their control of the governments. They wield the puppet strings of our so-called elected representatives.
The people from Iceland.
Say again?
People from Iceland that control everything.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Icelandic people that control everything, right?
It's the Eskimos. It's the Eskimos.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that. But anyway, I'll just say a little bit more about it and why this is such an effective weapon for them to call anybody they don't like, oh, that's a Hitler or that's another Hitler. When I was growing up, through all the schooling and through all the other influences from whatever it was, whether it was TV shows or movies or anything that was just, you know, in the air, in the airwaves, I myself came to believe that Adolf Hitler was very, very evil, because that's what we learned in school. I mean, he was just downright evil, right? He was trying to take over the world, and he was stopping at nothing, and he murdered all those Jews in the gas chambers and the camps and whatnot, and it's just evil, 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 evil. And so it took me a while, even after I was learning about the truth of things, you know, and it was sort of woke up first about 9/11 and then more or less dove into the rabbit hole and learned about other things, you know, prior to 9/11, like World War II, true history. So even as I was learning that we've been lied to about World War II, it still took me a while to decontaminate myself from that conditioned response to Adolf Hitler. You know, I remember seeing on Arthur Topham's website a picture of Adolf Hitler petting a dog, and it was a very friendly picture of Adolf Hitler, right? It was him portraying him in a good light. And I had just gotten acquainted with Arthur Topham and his radical press online, and I really appreciated his articles. I thought they were great. But I remember when I saw that picture, I kind of flinched. I said, oh, geez, Arthur, you shouldn't do that. Like, because I thought, well, that's going to really scare people away. And it's just like, oh, you're putting Adolf Hitler in such a good light. But even though I was starting to learn the truth, you know, that the Holocaust didn't happen and all that, it took me a while to decontaminate myself from that. Like I say, it's Pavlovian response. And so, you know, to your question, Eddie, why do they use that as a method, as a weapon? You know, anybody who does bad, I mean, they called Gaddafi Hitler, you know, and he did similar things as Hitler. He separated his country from the Jewish banking system, right? That was one of the things he did, and among other things. But anyway, so anybody who does these things where they are getting Jews out of positions of power and control, they are called Hitler. So
bingo.
There it is. That's, and we just have to decontaminate ourselves. Now, I am, just to be clear, I'm thoroughly, thoroughly decontaminated now from that Pavlovian
no kidding.
Response of, you know, if you mention Adolf Hitler in a good light, it, you know, that I don't flinch anymore. I'm saying, yay, we've got people who are, you know, on side, they understand it, and they've managed to decontaminate their brains from that mental poison. So anyway, over back to you.
Well, I have a slightly different take. The Holocaust story serves a number of purposes. It's been a tremendous engine for creating sympathy, you know, 6 million Auschwitz that I mentioned, 6 million, you know, we suffered the most, poor us. So appealing to our Anglo-Saxon or maybe European sense of fairness and benevolence, Holocaust, the use of the Holocaust story has given Jews and Israel a tremendous tool for sympathy. Well, you can't be opposed to Israel because remember the Holocaust and all that. I think that's one purpose. The other thing, though, I think is to prevent us from looking at what Adolf Hitler accomplished. And, for instance, he came to power in January 1933. Germany was in the depths of a depression, as was the United States and Canada and much of the rest of the world. And he did something. Now, I'm going to argue, and some people would say I'm wrong, he implemented a form of social credit. In other words, the government needs money to do certain things. There wasn't much, they couldn't tax too much because people were poor. So they create money. Now, banks create money through the fractional reserve system. It's a form of magic. You put $100 into the bank, and the bank can lend out a multiple of about 26 or 27. So they can lend out 2,700 on the basis of the 100. That's magic. You and I can't do that. What social credit says is that if something is physically possible and materially possible, so if you've got the men and the materials to do something, it should be made financially possible. So Hitler, in my opinion, used a form of social credit. So he created the credit to build the Autobahn and various other things. They had the people, the workers, they had the raw materials, and it was made financially possible. Hitler turned Germany around in 2 years. They had a thriving economy. There was fairness for the workers. Workers were even given vacations, places to go. You know, it wasn't just 2 weeks off. It was arranged that they could go to the mountains for hiking and so on, or go for a voyage. In fact, the famous ship that the Russians torpedoed, the Wilhelm Gustloff, was originally a cruise ship for workers. Now, all of that was accomplished in 2 years. Our own prime minister at the time, William Lyon Mackenzie King, is a real shrewd man. And, you know, there might be bad things you could say about him, but there were good things, too. Mackenzie King said, we must study what Mr. Hitler is doing further. He couldn't understand, what is this guy doing that's so successful? Meanwhile, Britain remained in the Depression. Canada, the United States, each country had tried different things economically, but it just wasn't clicking. What was Hitler doing that was so successful? Well, what he did was he broke away from the international banks and created his own credit. And they became wealthy. Germany was thriving. We don't want to talk about that. That's where
we Paul, have to go. I'll just say, we are on the same page. Thank you so much for explaining all that. It's just basically more information, and these are more reasons why Hitler is demonized, and I was just explaining the psychological aspect of it. So that was really great, Paul. Thank you.
So we got to go right back to that. This is break. Be right back, folks. That's this quick break.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Come in the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue.
Hey, Blood River Radio family. We are at the last segment of the second hour. We're going to go right back. I got to make a comment. I got to ask Paul. I think Paul found the golden egg that the goose laid. I agree with Paul. Adolf Hitler... Paul said, if so rightfully so, that Adolf Hitler in 2 years brought Germany, the German people, out of the deepest depths of despair, depression, economic failure, starvation. There was rampant, you know, I've been told in Berlin, rampant, you know, prostitution, everything you can think of, because people were desperate to do anything they could, selling their bodies, do anything to keep from starving by food. So, and Hitler did that in 2 years. He turned Germany into, I won't say a paradise, but close to it, because while the rest of the world, the United States is still, people are still starving to death, the Germans were even going on vacations. Well, and he did it, Paul said, rightfully so, he was disconnected from the international Jewish banking system. That is golden. That's what we need to hammer on. We need to get that point out to the people. And secondly, this question I would ask, it's probably self-explanatory. Paul, if Hitler could have done that by using Jewish fiat currency that you just talked about, the fractional reserve system, if Hitler had never kicked the Jewish bankers out, he probably could, almost certainly he could not accomplish what he did. But if he'd have done that miracle, if he'd have created that miracle by using Jewish money, by making money for the Jews, they being the international Jew controlling the United States, Britain, France, would they have not declared war on Germany? Would they let him go? No. What about that, Paul?
Well, the World Jewish Congress declared war on Germany within days of Hitler being elected in January 1933. There are headlines. They declared an economic war. But I would put it a little differently. I'm not so sure that Hitler was using Jewish money. I think Hitler was using the ability to create credit.
No, he wouldn't use it. He was not using. I wasn't trying to infer. I knew he was not using Jewish money. I was saying, but right. If he had used Jewish money, I was asking, would they have they let him go?
That's a good point. What he was doing, though, and this is the genius, in my opinion, of social credit, is that instead of the profits going to the bank of the creation of credit, the profits go to the people. So by creating, let's say, $2,700 out of $100, instead of the interest on that $2,700 going to a bank, the creation of credit goes to society. We now have the money to build the Autobahn, build this and build that. The other point that I think is to explain the demonization of Hitler, and it goes back to something I think we all experienced maybe in grade school, where we or some other little kid was pointing at another kid and calling him a bad name, and you'd be reprimanded by your mother or the teacher. Every time you point at somebody else, make an accusation, three fingers are pointing back at you. Well, the Allies committed incredible atrocities. The terror bombing, and that's what Hitler said it was, Churchill said it was, the terror bombing and destruction of German cities like Dresden, Hamburg, and so on. And this was the mass killing of civilians. In contravention of the Geneva Conventions, the Allies did that. And of course, this might be a bit more controversial, but I think the evidence now is that the Japanese were essentially surrendering. And so the bombings, the destruction of Hiroshima and Nagasaki were over the top. Those were war crimes. Rather than mull that over that or think, we did some bad things, never mind that. Push that aside. And Auschwitz, 6 million. Did I mention Auschwitz and Birkenau? And so we've had that, and Adolf Hitler was a monster. And I think that's largely the reason that for the demonization of Adolf Hitler. Something that gives me a fair deal of hope. Adolf Hitler now is so far in the past for the generations that are, in their teens, 20s, 30s, and 40s. You may as well rant and rave against Napoleon.
That's a great point.
I don't know Napoleon. Very, very. When I was very little, I knew old people in the Catholic Church that were very negative about Napoleon for complicated reasons, but. But nowadays, who gets upset about Napoleon?
That's a great point.
Believe me, time is on our side as long as we stick to the truth.
Great point.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, the Jews are getting in panic, state of panic, because I think there are some polls that have shown that people of a certain age, like younger than, I don't know, is it younger than 25 or whatever, that they're not really totally believing this Holocaust story anymore. Like, there's a significant proportion of them that they don't believe it. So, of course, the Jews are setting up ever more museums that would be their temples, I guess, because this is a religion for them. But we're talking about Holocaust museums in places where a logical thinking person would say, well, what does this have to do with anybody around here? They're all over the place. And then, of course, the mandatory curriculum studies of this fable, this religion. And then, the attack simultaneously, the attack on Christianity or Christian symbols or Christian holy days and whatnot. I mean, children, do they get to have a Christmas pageant anymore in school like they always used to? Now it has to be some kind of a world thing, where they can't have the Christian story portrayed. It has to be something that's inclusive of all the other religions. And, I suppose if it's got a menorah in it, then it'll pass by all the other barriers, whatever. But and Christmas trees are no longer Christmas trees. They got to be some other thing, a world tree, and then menorahs being set up everywhere. I mean, people are getting fed up with this, and they're starting to ask. It doesn't even mean just the young people. People are starting to ask, well, enough already. Why do they go on and on about this? Like, meanwhile, we're looking around and we see all kinds of wars, genocides, massacres, and yet it's always just this Jewish holy cause, and that's what I call it the Holy Cause or the Holocaust. Hollow as in it's empty and it costs a lot of money. Go on.
We've been told how bad theocracies are, like Iran, where they've got a state religion, although other religions are tolerated. There were Jewish members of the a couple of Jewish members of the Iranian parliament, but they have a state religion, and that's Islam. Okay, that's their country. We now have a state religion in Canada. It's Holocaust, and you can go to jail if you deny or diminish the Holocaust. It's more complicated, and I don't want to go into that right now, but we have a state religion.
Wow.
And you know that because religion is irrational. And I don't mean to offend any our religious friends, but religion is a matter of belief. I can't prove to you that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, yeah, I know you might quote the Bible, but supposing I don't believe in the Bible, I couldn't prove to you scientifically that. You must believe or you don't believe. And that's what the Holocaust is like in Canada. You've got to believe. And, you know, if you say, well, geez, the numbers don't quite add up. The Red Cross said 275,000 Jews of all causes died in the camps. But if you don't believe in the 6 million, I don't know. Or you're a heretic, man. They might not burn you at the stake, but they put you in jail. No, it's pathetic. A country that should be made up of rational thinking, questioning people, you've got to become some sort of, you know, pseudo-religious fanatic and doff your sweaty nightcap to this Holocaust tale. But as Monica was saying, there's been some recent polls of people, I think under 30, something like 25% in Canada and the United States either don't believe the so-called Holocaust happened or think it was exaggerated. And you'll wonder, I mean, how did they come to these thoughts? Because they would have received nonstop Holocaust propaganda on the mass media, in their churches probably, and in the education system since they were a child. I mean, it's amazing. But I also think what people are seeing every day going on in Gaza and now in Beirut, they're just the massacre of people. The Jews are no longer seen as the eternal victims. They are the Darth Vaders victimizing others, and it's a change in perception.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be hard to overcome that.
Well, it does give me hope that in spite of all the programming, and I'm talking about the mind, you know, indoctrination, the brainwashing, whatever you want to call it, we do still have an innate capacity to think and to draw conclusions. And so that gives me, you know, a reason for hope and optimism that when the young people are, they're really turning away from this in droves, and I'm telling you, that's becomes infectious. It doesn't take a huge number of them to then basically this will become it's okay. Like they know and they feel that they're no longer just isolated. This brings us back to our first topic in the hour about
yes.
that isolation. People are no longer isolated when they start doubting these narratives that are shoved down our throats.
Quick question before we go, Paul, since you brought it up. You talked about how you can be imprisoned now in Canada. It's Holocaustianity is a religion. With these people waking up, we're talking about the younger people. If the government continues to use the velvet glove, and it does, if it starts working, stops working, will there be a rebellion that will be totally out of control by the government? Will they? What about that, Paul?
I think there could be. Yes.
Well, thank you so much. People, we've run, dear Blood River Radio family, we've run completely out of time. Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you so much, Miss Monica. I appreciate you coming on, and I'll be getting in touch with y'all as soon as I come back to New York.
Thanks,
thank you,
Eddie.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Paul. Bye-bye.
Good night. Good night. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you so much, Paul. Well, folks, we're going to transition to the second hour right now. We're going to pick up the bitter ender himself, Gene Andrews. Be right back. I mean, excuse me. That's right. Third hour. Be right back, folks.